wrap it up, right? Let's call time on it. Surely in this 2024, Black people, we still can't be calling ourselves Christians, right? After everything we know about how Christianity harmed us, isn't it time for us to let go of the oppressor's religion? Now, if you've ever been asked this question or posed this question yourself, stay tuned for today's episode. Welcome to the Real Questions with Claire podcast, where we keep it real by asking questions. Let's get into today's episode. So I hope you've enjoyed the new jingle. Yeah, yeah. My friend Terry from Chronic Fitness, he created the jingle for me. He is a fitness expert, personal trainer, and also a very gifted musician, drummer, keys player, bass player. He says he's teaching himself those last two instruments, but he is fantastic. So I'll leave his details. If you need a musician, if you need a fitness instructor, get in touch with Terry. Thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate you. Big love. Welcome back if you're joining me again, or please accept my greetings if you're tuning in for the first time. Lovely to have you with the Real Questions family. Do go back and have a listen through the first three episodes. Do you get a sense of what we're trying to achieve in this podcast? But for now, today, we are looking at the question, isn't it time for Black people to outgrow Christianity? Whenever we're asked a question about our faith, we can respond in a few ways. And I'm going to consider two of those. And the first is a way that I definitely responded to questions in the past. And even still now, I can respond. And that is with fear. Okay. Feeling like, you know, you're being backed into a corner. You're in a sort of catch-22 situation. If I say this, you know, this person's going to think I'm a bigot. If I say that, they're going to think I'm stupid. And if I say the other, you know, I'll get cancelled or something. You sometimes feel like you're in a no-win situation, lose-lose situation when you're asked a question. You can feel like you're in the hot seat. You can just generally feel under pressure, yeah? But I think one of the ways that have been really helpful to me just in my journey of growing in faith is to take a different approach, all right? And that is one which has a which is a posture of seeking to understand and to dignify the question that is posed to me as best as I can. And sometimes dignifying a question might well just be admitting, do you know what, I don't know. I do not have an answer to your question. I might say, do you know what, let me do some digging and come back to you. Let me do some, you know, research and see what I can come up with. But sometimes it's just best to say, do you know what, I actually don't know. Thank you for posing that question. You've given me lots to think about there. Because sometimes questions can actually help us to sharpen, yeah, our faith, to see an area, a blind spot that we hadn't considered before. But this question has now entered the scene and is going to help us to think that through. So I think it's really helpful that if we don't always assume that when someone's asking us a question, they're asking because they want to try and humiliate us, they've got some malicious intent behind it. Thinking the best of our friends, family, colleagues, anybody who asks us a question about our faith, thinking the best of them, that is going to translate into how you answer their question and how it lands. Even if you say something that really challenges their worldview, even if you say something that they massively disagree with, right? The way that you answer the question, because you are honoring that question and not seeing it as an attack, a personal attack on you, even the answers that the person might not agree with, they're going to be able to more often than not say, do you know what? Okay, maybe I hadn't thought of it that way. I still don't agree with you, perhaps, but maybe I hadn't thought of it that way. And it gives a different kind of challenge. So one of the ways that I try to dignify questions is to consider, you know, what can I affirm? Someone's asked me a question, isn't it time for Black Christians to outgrow Christianity? What can I affirm? What do I agree with about the question? And also I'm going to be thinking of, okay, what are they assuming? Are there some assumptions? I was watching a TikTok video the other day and there was a lady on there talking about how Africans will demonize their ancestors and demonize sort of African indigenous spiritual practices, but they will worship someone else's ancestor, namely Jesus of Nazareth. And I agreed with the point she was trying to make. I understood it, should I say, the point she was trying to make. But I felt like there was a lot of oversimplifying and misrepresenting what Christians believe in that video. And I think if you take the method that I'm trying to encourage here of, first of all, what can I affirm about my questioner's position, okay, and what they're saying, and then what can I see are assumptions behind their view? I think we will, if we use this kind of method, we will avoid that kind of straw man effect and ultimately a belittling effect of what someone else thinks and believes about the world. So we're going to break down the phrase, isn't it time for Black people to outgrow Christianity into three parts? One, isn't it time? Two, outgrow. And three, Christianity. So when someone says, you know, isn't it time? You know, now is the time. It's 2024. Black people need to stop this, you know, Christian nonsense, right? The assumption behind that is kind of, you know, 2024 is the age of progress, all right? Let's keep up to date. Let's not become out of touch or obsolete. And, you know, let's get with the program, people, because surely you're just dealing with some relic of the past, right? And what would I affirm about that? I would say, yes, we enjoy lots of progress today. Even in, let's say, racism, we know that there's still lots of work to do, but we have come a long way. So I can affirm that, yes, we've made lots of strides forward in as a society, as a sort of global community. But one of the assumptions behind this, and this is what C.S. Lewis, a reluctant Christian, by the way, he was formerly an atheist, and in his kind of journey to faith, he kind of weighed up the evidence and found reluctantly that Christianity seemed to make the best sense of reality, what we see in reality. Anyway, he calls this kind of attitude of let's get up to date, let's stop being out of touch. He calls it chronological snobbery. And this is the idea that the time in which we live now is the best of all times, the most forward thinking of all times. And those who came before us, well, they were well-meaning, you know, they're well-intentioned, but they were ultimately a little, you know, a little primitive, if you like, in their efforts at doing life. And, you know, the advances of our time, the way we think about things now, look, we surpass the past, all right? I remember talking to a young man one time who was saying to me, words to the effect of, you know, the Windrush generation, yeah, they were Christians, but surely they were only Christians because they needed to be Christians at the time. So effectively, Christianity in the face of racism coming to this country, they needed Christianity as a crutch. It was to help them to get through. But, you know, that's what the old folks did, and bless them, but we don't need it anymore, all right? But you can see where I'm getting at. This idea of chronological snobbery, this idea that we have the best of all knowledge now, is massively arrogant, all right? Now, C.S. Lewis says, in assessing an idea that has seemingly come out of fashion or seemingly obsolete, he asked the question, did it merely die away as fashions do? If it did, this tells us nothing about its truth or falsehood. Now, I see a lot of, well, we see a lot of trends, all right? But I think there's a difference between trends, tradition, and truth. Let me just quickly say this. Trends, people will change what they wear, change what they eat, change who they follow. People become popular, they get cancelled. We know how it goes, right? Those are trends. And I mentioned on the first episode, there's a trend of people becoming less religiously affiliated and the rise of the SBNRs, the spiritual but not religious, right? But just because that's a trend, it doesn't mean that it's true. So I'm a Christian. I grew up in a Christian household. So you could say that one of the reasons, and I've had people say this to me, oh, you're just a Christian because, you know, it's traditional to your family and you grew up in it, that kind of thing. And I need to be able to say, do you know what? They have a point. So I am more familiar with Christianity because of my upbringing. But the way I've learned about Christianity has no impact upon whether Christianity is true or false.
Are you a thinker who's curious about the big questions? Grab a copy of Have You Ever Wondered? A book of short chapters on meaning, purpose, and spirituality. Do check out my chapters, Have You Ever Wondered Why Black Lives Matter? Have You Ever Wondered Why We Long for Justice? Have You Ever Wondered If Your Life Is Worthwhile? See the link in the description for the buy one, get one free offer at 10 of those.
So whatever our worldview, none of those things decide or determine whether our worldview is true. And we need to ask different questions to ascertain what is true. Of course, there are some people who don't believe that there is such a thing called truth. But in saying that there's no such thing as truth, you're saying it's true. There's no such thing as truth. Let's continue. Right. Outgrow. So this word outgrow in our question for today, isn't it time for black people to outgrow Christianity? It's kind of suggesting that there's a certain naivety about black Christians, a certain immaturity in our thinking. We're kind of young and sort of juvenile. We're stuck in the past and we need to evolve. We need to evolve now and beyond into other ways of thinking and being. And I see a lot of this on social media amongst people who've deconstructed their faith. They often talk about evolving. Nothing wrong with growing at all, I don't think at all. But sometimes this word evolving is used the opposite of it, of someone who, let's say, is immature or stuck in the past or naive. It's a pejorative, yeah, that, you know, you're still on that old thing, you know, you're still on that old thing. Right. But what can I affirm about this position? Well, first of all, I might say that, do you know what? Blind faith is not a good look on Christians. Blind faith to say, you know, I just believe because I believe because I believe. Yeah. I don't need evidence for God. I don't need my prayers answered. I don't need this. I just believe. There is a faith and a confidence that we have in God, like Hebrews 11. Okay, that we trust and we believe in God, even, and we hope for things even if we're not able to see them. But our relationship with God isn't just based upon a whim or a wishful thinking. It's based upon seeing the evidence of what Jesus has done in our lives and in the world. And on the basis of recognizing Jesus for who he is and who he says he is, what he says about himself, what he's done in our lives, we make a response to follow him. So I don't really think that any Christian is a follower of Jesus based on blind faith. And I think we have in our sort of Christian circles elevated blind faith, that, you know, blind faith is more faithful or is more powerful or is more effective than the faith of someone who is taking their time to reason through, to weigh up the evidence and come to Christ. I'm a Pentecostal. People can have a supernatural encounter with the Lord in a moment. Amen. Right? But equally, people sometimes take one step at a time. They're not just going to jump straight in. They need a bit of time. So blind faith, I will agree, is not a good look on Christians. And that kind of attitude can make us look like we're naive, etc., etc. But I would challenge the idea that black Christians haven't thought through our faith. And I would challenge that based upon the testimony of many people today, okay, my brothers and sisters in the faith today. I would challenge that on the basis of the huge legacy of people who have believed and have decided to follow Jesus, not just because it was a crutch, not just because it was helpful to them, but because they believed it to be true. Yeah. And there is something, again, arrogant about assuming that someone's faith is only built upon them just needing it. And it's not true. Oh, it's just a psychological crutch. I'm going to come into that topic on another episode, because I think it's quite pervasive. And as I've said already, I think it's quite arrogant. So we have a legacy of black people who have thought very well, very deeply, very intentionally about their faith. And one such person is Michael the Deacon from the Ethiopian church. He was a black man in Ethiopia, and he met with Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. And we know that they met up in 1534
from Martin Luther's own writings. And interestingly, Michael the Deacon and the Ethiopian Church, already established, was formative and influential to the thinking of Martin Luther. So this idea that black people only came in contact with Christianity because of the lash of a whip is false. It is false. And I've got some quite strong things to say about that in my last and final point. So we have a huge corpus of literature, of scholarship and activism as well, of black people, black Christians who have taken their faith seriously, who are not immature in their thinking, who have not naive, but have really thought about what they believe. So isn't it time? We've looked at isn't it time that black people outgrow? We've looked at outgrow and finally Christianity. And that word in this particular context kind of suggests, you know, it's an oppressive relic of the past. It's the white man's religion. It's ultimately controlling. It's designed to control and hold back the progress of black people. Now, I mentioned in the previous episode that there is a great organization called the Jew 3 Project, and that's run by Lisa Fields. Shout out to Lisa Fields. I'm such a fangirl. Lisa's doing some great stuff. Honestly, their content's amazing. And the Jew 3 Project, they released a film, I think it was 2022, called Unspoken. Definitely recommend that. Watch it with your family, friends, where they basically take on this question, is Christianity the white man's religion, right? And part of the reason they created this documentary was following data that they had gathered from black students, black Christians, black ex-Christians in the US. And in one of the surveys that they did, they found that 64% of 18 to 29 year olds who grew up in church have withdrawn from church involvement. And they stated three reasons why they'd withdrawn from church involvement. The first one was that they felt Christianity was a tool used to brainwash black people. They felt that Christianity was the white man's or oppressor's religion. They felt that it was an opioid. Christianity was an opioid used to control the masses. This kind of thinking is often behind feeding into questions or movements to distance ourselves as black people away from Christianity, that we're being controlled, we're being brainwashed. It's our oppressor's religion. So what will I affirm about those views? I affirm the idea that we should question, we should interrogate our faith. We should have a decolonial lens when looking at our faith. And, you know, a lot of the time, we as black Christians, we might hear something that a white evangelical minister is doing in America, and we will pick it up and we'll run with it, right? Whereas we kind of need to be more diligent. We need to be more discerning. Just because somebody in America said something, it doesn't mean that it stands up under scrutiny or is good for us. I mentioned some of the dangers of Christian apologetics, which can be used to underpin sort of Christian nationalist thinking. So there is something to be said about having a decolonial lens, a more discerning approach to our faith, and seeing and separating ideas that are used to harm from the truth and the beauty of Jesus Christ, right? So I think some of the assumptions behind what the stat from the Jew 3 Project found, and this whole idea that Christianity is an oppressive relic of the past, controlling, etc. One of the assumptions that I want to challenge, and I'm going to be very direct here, is I'm going to say, let's not do the work of white supremacy, right? White supremacy, the idea that one ethnic group, white people, is better, greater, superior than another, black people, that idea has had huge ramifications, and it has eroded, it has been corrosive, it's been undermining to black culture, black cultures everywhere. I'm really looking into this quite deeply for my PhD in sociology. I'm looking at some of the roots of racism and the effects of it still today. But what do I mean by let's not do the work of white supremacy? When we adopt this view that Christianity is just all of the above, oppressive, etc., etc., that view erases, it does the same eroding, corrosive, undermining, you could even say epistemic violence. It does that same work to black people, to black Christians who have followed Jesus, who've taken him seriously, who around the world follow Jesus in the past, especially prior to slavery, and today. When we say, when we just define Christianity as this controlling white thing, you're making it that controlling white thing. You are erasing your the work and the beliefs of your brothers and sisters. Even if you don't agree with those beliefs, you are erasing their significance. And so to some degree, if we insist that Christianity is the white man's religion, it's something we need to outgrow because it's the oppressor's religion, white people gave it to us and it's a European this and da-da-da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. If we insist upon that, we actually end up centering white supremacy. And I know people don't like the word white supremacy because when they hear it, they think that we're talking about the KKK, you know, white hoods and flames. But today, conversations look at the idea of white supremacy as the kind of ideological power it has. And we see that expressed. We've seen it expressed in literature, in philosophy, in politics, in theology. We've seen it erase and do all manner of harm to people who are not white. We end up centering white supremacy. And a really helpful resource that I think does justice to what I'm trying to say here is, and I talk about this book quite a lot, but I think it's fantastic. It's The Whitewashing of Christianity by Jerome Gay Jr. Fantastic book and great pastor, really good preacher as well in the US. I will put the details in the show notes. If you don't want to read the book, do check out the podcast episode he did talking about it with Lisa Fields of the Jude Tree Project. This question, isn't it time for black people to outgrow Christianity? What it does is ultimately whitewash Christian history, whitewash black history, which was massively involved in Christianity, but we've been told a different story, right? And I'm going to leave us with this quote here from, again, another fantastic book, Reading While Black by Esau Macaulay. And I think he just sums up what I'm trying to get at with today's question. He says, historically, the claim that Christianity is European is fundamentally false. This can easily be proved by anyone with access to a history book and a map. It is a fact hiding in plain sight that the three major centres of early Christianity were the patriarchs of Rome, Antioch, and Alexandria. Of these three, only Rome is in what we would call Western Europe. Alexandria is located in Egypt, a major early centre of African culture. We do not have firm information on how Christianity came to North Africa, but tradition has it that it was evangelized by St. Mark. From this North African church comes some of the greatest minds that Christianity has produced, such as Augustine and Tertullian. Isn't it time for black people to outgrow Christianity? My answer to that question is no. Why? Because it's not a case of us outgrowing, it's a case of us realizing and understanding that we have been part of its formation, we have been part of its exponential growth, and we make a significant contribution to the faith.